I want to preach for the next few Sunday nights on different people that are soul winners in the New Testament. Different characters, as we can learn some lessons from them about how to approach people, how to win people to Christ. I think Christians ought to be soul winners. How about you? Amen. That was sort of weak. I think Christians should be soul winners. How about you?
Amen.
I really do. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And so we want to see tonight how John the Baptist handled some of those things. We'll look at John the Baptist tonight as a pioneer soul winner. John chapter 1, and you follow as we begin with verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus come unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now let's take a look at John and what he was doing. We'll see in this series an overall picture of many of the ways that we can be prepared to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. John was a pioneer. Here we are in the very beginning of the New Testament, as it were, for us. And he was preparing a way for the Lord. But not only was he preparing a way for the Lord, he was preparing a way for us to know how to win souls and to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was showing us how to be soul winners, how to win people to Christ. John had a supernatural birth. John had a Spirit-filled life. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was beheaded because of his soul-winning effort and his denial, or his standing for Christ and not denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at it, God has a plan for everyone. And I believe, as I said at the outset, God expects us to win souls to Jesus Christ. And that seems to be getting to be a little bit old hat, even in fundamental circles today. It shouldn't be. God expects us to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John gives us some ways in which that can be done and some interesting things about him. First of all, he obeyed a divine command. He obeyed a divine command. Look at verse 33. and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Underscore those words, he that sent me. You see, somebody sent John the Baptist to do that job. He that sent me. Now, who sent him? We'll go back to verse 6. Look at verse 6, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John wasn't out there just doing his own thing. John was out there doing what God had commissioned him to do and told him to do. God sent him to get the job done. Jesus also was sent to obey the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to do the will of my Father. And may I suggest to you tonight that we too are supposed to be here to do the will of the Father. That's our business. That's what we're supposed to be about, doing the will of the Father. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, what? Even so send I you. As my Father sent me. Why did his Father send him? To die for a lost world. To tell him how to be saved. To let him know he was the way, the truth, and the life. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How many of you believe that's Bible truth? Say amen. Amen. That's what God says. He's sending us the same way. And John was obeying a divine commission that God gave him. And I have a question for us tonight. Are we doing that? I have a question. Let's make it more personal. Are you doing that? Are you fulfilling the commission that God gave us? A second thing I noticed about John the Baptist, the soul winner, was he described a specific task. He described a very specific task. Why was John sent? In verses 19 through 22, there was a delegation that was sent to him. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? They wanted to know what was going on, and they wanted to know, John, who are you? And this group came and questioned him. The delegation was trying to figure out who he was. And he summed it all up in verse 23 after they asked him those questions. Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Who are you? And he said in verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now that's a big long title, isn't it? He just simply said, that's my job. My job is to be a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And I believe we ought to be doing the same thing. I believe it applies to us also. In other words, he was saying, I am a channel that God can speak through. I am a voice. I'm acting as a conduit for him so that the word can get out. And that's exactly what God is asking us to do. A channel through whom he can speak to a lost and dying world. And this world is very much like the world he was talking about. He said, I'm one crying in the wilderness. Brother, we're crying in the wilderness nowadays. It is a dark, dreary time and a dark, dreary wilderness. And these people need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that all Christians can do and should do. I believe there are people out there waiting to hear about Jesus. I really do. Or you say, well, I don't meet too many of them. Well, maybe we're not trying hard enough. Maybe we're not knocking on enough doors. Maybe we're not speaking up verbally enough. I believe in lifestyle evangelism, but friend, that isn't enough. You can't do that. You got to open your mouth. You can't just be a lifestyle witness in a court of law. You've got to open your mouth and be a witness, and that's the way it is for us. We've got to take a stand and witness, and that's what John the Baptist is saying to us. Not only that, what did he do? He introduced a wonderful person. He introduced a wonderful, marvelous person. Did you know that John the Baptist, unlike so many of us, was always trying to take the attention off of himself. And he was trying to give the attention and place it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 25 through 27. They asked him and said unto him, Why do you baptize thou if you be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you. He's pointing right there to Jesus, whom you know not. He, Jesus, he it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me. It's not about John the Baptist. It's not about you. It's not about our denomination. It's not about any of these things or about our affiliation with a group. It's about our relationship to Jesus Christ. It should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John had it right, didn't he? He said, it isn't about me, but it's about Jesus. He was there before I was ever born. He was talking about the preexistence of Christ, that he was part of the Holy Trinity before the foundations of the earth were ever set up. And he says, that's who I'm here to point you to. That's who I'm talking about. Who was Christ? Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Who is that? That's Jesus. Can be nobody else. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, he says something similar to that. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist, what are you doing? Why are you preaching? What are you baptizing people for? What are you up to? I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to introduce you to a wonderful, wonderful person and point people to him. Tonight, if you're a missionary, that's what you should be doing. If you are an evangelist, that's what you should be doing. If you're a preacher, that's exactly what you should be doing. If you're one single saved individual before Almighty God, that too is what we need to be doing. Even if you're a new convert, you can win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to point people to this wonderful person. And then he proclaimed a glorious message. A wonderful and glorious message. Two things that he talked about when he talked about Christ. They're wonderful things. They're beautiful things. That's what it's all about. Look at verse 29. He told them that he was a sin bearer. He said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, and I'm going to tell you what he did. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. You know he's talking about a sacrifice. You know he's going back to Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover. You know he's talking about the precious Lamb of God. And what does this Lamb do? Unlike the lambs in the Old Testament, this Lamb taketh away the sin of the world. He's saying, I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a message. Jesus was your sin bearer. Thank God tonight we have a sin bearer. Because we're all sinners and we've all sinned more sins than we want to think about. And we hope to God we've forgotten some of them. But thank God we have a sin bearer. And that sin bearer is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad he was willing to do that. Look at verse 36. He said, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. He was telling them something. And they knew what he was saying. And they should have responded. They should have known that he was talking about the sacrifice, the blood being shed, the payment for their sin. He is the sin bearer. And so he's proclaiming this glorious message. And then he was baptizing these people, and he was talking about Christ, and he talked about Christ being baptized there with the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 32 and 33. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same, who sent him? God did. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad Jesus redeems us, and I'm glad he places in our hearts, the moment we get saved, the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to seal us, to take care of us, to lead us, to help us all of our Christian life. He does that, and John is saying that he is our sin bearer, and he's the one who baptizes. Not only was he baptized with the Holy Ghost, But he is the one who baptizes us. What he is saying is he's the one that delivers from sin. Not only does he deliver from sin, thank God, but he gives us the gift of new life. I have new life in Christ tonight. How about you? The old life's gone. I've got the new life. I've got the new person. I have a new desire and a new want to in my soul. Ever since I received Christ as a 9-year-old lad in a little country church, I've had a new nature and a new reason for living. And that reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrificial, substitutionary death. And may I say to you tonight, only one could do that. Only one was perfect and sinless who could go to the cross and offer himself in my place and in your place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God, all through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ. Thank God for the blood of Christ. I hope you never take the Lord's Supper when you're taking that element, not only the bread that speaks of the broken body, but the grape juice that speaks of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We should never partake of it unworthily. It should always remind us, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb. Notice what he says now, without blemish and without spot. The spotless Lamb of God going on the altar and taking my place and paying, thank God, my sin debt, making me one of his children. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, we are partakers of his divine nature. I am a partaker of his divine nature. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. How's God going to inhabitate me? Through the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We got it through Christ. John said, he's the one. He's the one who's baptized. He's the one God said, look, when that dove comes upon him, you'll know he's the Messiah. And he's the Savior. He's the sacrifice. He's the one that's going to allow those who get saved and believe in him to have the Holy Spirit indwell them and seal them and guide them in their lives. I'm glad that we have that. Now, I can tell you tonight, people are trying to find the answers here and there. They try to find it in sex. They try to find it in drugs. They try to find it in alcohol. They try to find it in pleasure. They try to find it in materialism. They try to find it in psychology and psychiatry. They try to find it in education. They try to find it in all kinds of places. But you're never going to find the answer to life's problems, and you're never going to find the peace that you want until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can meet that need. All of this New Age junk that's out there, people are trying to find themselves. I'm trying to find myself. Well, I found myself a long time ago, and I found I was a sinner, and I needed to be born again. Amen? And thank God the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your need tonight can be found in Christ. If you're not saved and born again and not sure you're going to heaven, the need can be found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone can answer man's need. Now, we have the privilege of being saved. Amen? Well, what a privilege to be saved. But we also have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel to others. Everybody in this building has that responsibility. And here's the question. Are we doing it? You say, preacher, you're trying to put all of us on a guilt trip. Not really. I'm just trying to preach the Word of God. I'm trying to look at myself in the mirror of the Word and say, I need to do more. I'm trying to say that I need to talk to more people, that I need to follow the commission God has given me. Matthew 28:18-20, he gave that to us. In some of the other gospel accounts, he's saying that I've called you to go out. In Acts 1:8, he says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Why? So you can go out and be witnesses for me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. But it always starts right here. It should start right here. And I'm burdened that we don't have more people walking the aisles. And I hope you feel that way. I'm not depressed. I'm burdened. There's a difference. But I believe that we can do so much more to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we doing it? Preacher, will it bear fruit if we do it? I think so. I think the Bible gives us that guarantee. If we try to witness to people and tell them about Jesus Christ and get the gospel to them, I believe it will bear fruit. And I see here that John received a very rich harvest. Look at verses 35 through 37. And again, John 1:35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now watch verse 37. And the two disciples, how many? Two. Two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Two heard what he said, and they said, "Well, we'll follow him. If he's the Lamb of God, and you're telling us he's the Savior, then we are going to follow him." Now, at first glance, two is not very impressive. So, well, it's just two people followed him because of John the Baptist right there. Now, I believe many more did, but we have this account here. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot. Only two here who are following Christ. And then we have to know who those two were. Well, I believe it was Andrew, as the Bible says, and I believe it was John. I believe these were the two that he's talking about. Now, Andrew found his brother Peter. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother. I want you to notice the structure of that sentence. It didn't say he findeth his own brother first. That's different. He didn't say he findeth his own brother first. It says he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him. The implication here, some Bible scholars believe, is very clear, is that he found his brother first, and then that after that, John found his brother. And so if that be the case, you see the impact of these two and what happened as a result of John the Baptist simply saying to them, "Look at there, there goes the Lamb of God. Will you follow him?" And they said, "We'll follow him." And so then you have Andrew winning Peter to Christ. And you have Peter and James and Andrew, all four of these, and all the rest that got saved, but these four. And just think of what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. You say, "Well, John didn't do a whole lot, and he got killed early." But look how many were saved the day Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people came to the Lord Jesus Christ because John the Baptist was a soul winner. You know, somebody had to win D.L. Moody to the Lord. Somebody had to win a lot of those people that we know as our heroes in the past. Somebody had to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of the multitudes that were won to Christ because John the Baptist was obedient to the commission and the call that Jesus gave him, a call that all of us have tonight to be soul winners. You don't have to go through a course to be a soul winner. We're going to point that out as we go through some of these people. You don't have to go through team soul winning like we have it here in that course to win somebody to Christ. All you got to do is be able to tell them what happened to you. Amen? That isn't hard to do. Leave it up to God. Just tell them. Man said, "I don't care what you think. I can tell you one thing. Once I was blind, but I can tell you this. Now I can see." He can say, "I can tell you one thing. Something happened to my life. Something changed my life." So just go out and tell people. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. We have the commission. We have the responsibility to God. We should all be bringing people down the aisle that we personally have led to Jesus Christ. We'd rather hear some sweet little honeycomb message than that. But friend, that's the truth, and we need it. And we need all of us to understand the responsibility to win people to Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist obeyed the call of God. He introduced Christ to these men. He had results because he was willing to do what God told him to do. John the Baptist. I like that part too, don't you? John the Baptist. He was a Baptist. And I thank God for that conviction. But John the Baptist set the pattern early on. And he said, I've come to tell people about Jesus Christ. I've come to point them to the Lamb of God. What a privilege and what a responsibility we have tonight. He had results. I want to ask you, are we doing that? Are we doing that? Would you talk to God a little bit about it tonight? And maybe come to the altar if God leads you. I'm not pumping for people to come to the altar, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be a bad thing for us to come sometimes and get on our knees and say, God, break my heart afresh and anew for lost souls. Do you know we get away from that? How many of you know we do get away from that? It's human nature. And just to come and get on your knees and say, God, help me to be the soul winner I know you want me to be and I want to be. Help me to tell more people about Christ. Make a commitment to him tonight and say, by your grace, I'll tell more people about Christ. And if you're here without Christ tonight, may I just tell you exactly what John said. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There's only one way to heaven. We're going to be somewhere forever and ever, either in heaven or hell. No other place mentioned in the Bible. We'll be in heaven or hell forever and ever. And we need to get saved and know that we're born again. I'm glad tonight I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have a thing in this world that's more important to me than the knowledge that when I die and my soul's going to go somewhere in spirit and spend it forever and ever, that I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to see him, just like it was being sung about tonight. I'm going to see him, and I thank God for that. How about you? Are you ready to meet him? Let's stand, please. While our heads are bowed, folks, every head is bowed, please don't think that a pastor just trying to chew you out when he preaches on soul winning. I'm hoping that God will touch our hearts and break our hearts. We are a fundamental Bible-believing, missionary-minded, and we often say soul-winning church. May God help us, whoever we may be tonight, to get back to that great business. And I know there are many ways to do it, but I want to tell you, the Bible speaks of verbally speaking up, a voice crying in the wilderness. May God help us to be burdened, brokenhearted, and be more committed to winning people to Christ. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you for letting us look at John the Baptist there in that time as he was the forerunner of Christ, as he pointed people to our lovely Savior. God, may we understand that we have the same commission tonight, and help us to get off of the dry rock of complacency into the channel of blessings, and help us to get rid of pride and have broken hearts. And oh God, if we sense that our hearts aren't broken tonight, if we sense that it doesn't disturb us about lost people, help us to come and ask you to stir our hearts afresh and anew. God, may you help us. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.